afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, November 9th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey there, Melody.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. What? Hey. I love it. I love all this volatility. It is always so pondering just to, I just wonder and wonder, and I just love it. I just love it. But it was a good day for gold buyers. Yes, it was. You were able to save $83.90 from Friday. That's right. $83.90 is the savings at spot price $1,868. Silver today, you could save $1.36 at $24.30 spot in the New York aftermarket price. Platinum was down $25 at $872, but hey, palladium managed up $6 at $2,520. And let's see, the USDX today, it turned around a little bit. It was negative, and now it's up 0.47 at 92.78. Crude oil was off its high also, 2.97 at 40.11. What's really interesting about these markets, I mean, they did do a big turnaround, and of course, I think it was negative in early morning trade when I get up and watch it, and then it turned positive, and then the announcement came out about the virus vaccine, and that took the Dow up over 1,500 points, and now we're only up 834. Still 3%. It's not a bad day at 29,157. But the NASDAQ had the same kind of a day, and they reversed down 1.5%, down 181 points, 11,713. The S&P stayed higher, a little over 1%, 41 points, at 3,550. 10-year yield, 0.96. If you're looking to do any refinancing on your mortgages or looking to get a new mortgage, I'd be getting it. 0.96 on the 10-year yield. Everything went higher. Germany was up 5%. London was up just about 5%. Japan was up over 2%. Hong Kong was up a little over 1%. So everybody's happy again that we have a vaccine and everything is going to return as was. And I wish that's the case. I do pray that that is the case. I you know, no one hates this more than I do. But one and one does not equal two if you think that we're going to go back to normal times. Just not going to happen. So, and I think we have going to have to have a whole new definition anymore of normal. I don't think there is going to be such a redefined normal. So again, the big news this morning was all about Pfizer and BioNTech, and you know, they came out with an announcement, and it's just really interesting. You know, if you read about Pfizer, and I guess it's pronounced BioNTech, Dave, or BioNTech.
BioNTech.
They didn't want to get political. It just kind of cracks me up that, you know, they actually, you know, actually wait for today to make the announcement, but they didn't want to be political. But anyway, they said that their vaccine was more than 90% effective, and a great day for science and humanity. The Pfizer chair and CEO, Dr. Albert Bourla. I'll say Bourla. I like that. He says he thinks we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. He believes that this is likely the most significant medical advance in the last 100 years. If you count the impact this will have in public health, global economy. This morning's announcement comes as drug makers and research centers scramble to deliver the safe vaccine. And the story continues. And we'll just have to see how this plays out. They had a 43,000 1,538 participants, and I guess there were only, 94 infections. Pfizer and the U.S. pharmaceutical giant, the German biotech partner, said the trial split between the vaccinated individuals and those who received the placebo indicated a vaccine efficacy rate of above 90% at 7 days after the second dose. What are the numbers? I mean, how many billions of people do we have on the planet? And what are those? What really are those percentages?
6 billion, is it? Plus? It's a lot.
And how many are actually infected?
Oh, worldwide? I don't know what that number is today. But,
so, I mean, it's still a small number considering when you're looking at billions of people. So, with the infection rate and everything. So, those are some numbers one of our listeners need to figure out for us and give us a call. But, but it was a pretty fast, although I, from what I read, they were actually working on some sort of a vaccine prior to this, that it actually enabled them to have this more readily available than some of the other ones because they're messing with that RNA type stuff, Dave.
Yeah,
we'll have to
find out
from Wendy on Wednesday, but...
Yeah, translated, it means that protection, this is the results of the Pfizer trial, that protection from COVID-19 is achieved 28 days after the initial vaccination, which in this case consists of a two-dose schedule. Now, of course, the final vaccine efficacy percentage may vary as safety and additional data continue to be collected. Dr. Scott Gottlieb, he's a former FDA commissioner, said that the vaccine could be available in limited use, presumably for the military and or first responders as early as late December, and more widely available by next July. Pfizer and BioNTech said there haven't been any serious safety concerns reported yet. But that's though that's gone undefined. The word serious. The company said they plan to submit for emergency use authorization to the FDA soon after they have 2 months of data, which is currently on track for next week. Melody. Based on current projections, they expect to produce up to 50 million vaccine doses this year and up to 1.3 billion next. And as I mentioned, it does require two doses per person. So, you know, based on, you know, the estimate of 6 billion people in the world, assuming, you know, the goal was for every last human to get it, I mean, that gets us about a quarter of the way there, meaning you're going to take longer if we just have to rely on this vaccine or other companies will have to be in the mix here. So we'll see what happens. As you said, Melody, one of the interesting challenges of the Pfizer vaccine is that it has to be stored at a temperature of minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. So that'll be perhaps a challenge. I don't know if that's
So from that low temperature to where it gets into your body.
Yeah.
What happens from point A to point B?
Well, that's a good question. I suspect they're kept in mini freezers that, you know, keeps the temperature from rising beyond a point at which it becomes ineffective. But that is way beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, mine too. But I mean, these are questions that they never answer, they never produce enough information to where we don't have these questions. And so until, you know, and then that's the key, you know, if they would give us the information on so many things it could eliminate a lot of, you know, misinformation, disinformation. Just give us the facts. You know, we don't want your, I don't want the spin on, you know, how good it is going to, give me the numbers, give me the facts. You know, we don't have to ask these questions and be distrustful and so forth. That's not going to happen. But yeah, it is interesting that they're the only ones that didn't receive money for drug development. But however, they did make an agreement to supply the government of 100 million doses, you know, a $2 billion agreement. So that was probably more money they got that way than if they would have gotten money for R&D. You know, a little bit of a, and I think too, prior to the election, I think we heard President Trump always talk about there's going to be soon an announcement, and I think he was probably referencing this. And you know, it seems like they held out of identifying this prior to the election, for whatever reason, for the, you know, because they didn't want to be political, but I think they're political anyway, or they wouldn't have taken the government's $2 billion. So, you know, if everybody, if they really wanted to save mankind from a deadly disease, flu, from COVID, you'd think that they would say, well, you know, we're not going to charge you anything, or just charge us what we need to process it. Anyway, I'm ranting again, and I don't mean to.
You
know,
digress.
On Friday's program. Yeah, I know, I do all the time, but, you know, it's a fact. You know, it's just irritating. On Friday's program, we talked about the economy, adding more jobs than expected, 638,000, marking the 6 months of consecutive declines, you know, in the unemployment rate. But there still are 10 million fewer jobs filled than there were in February. And don't forget, we were supposed to have gone into a recession in February. But nobody cares about that. Combination of elevated unemployment, part-time employment, low participation, you know, still point to a very significant slack in the labor market. Permanent layoffs now exceed temporary layoffs for the first time since the start of the pandemic. That points to slower job growth ahead, Dave.
It does. I mean, we know, in addition, the Fed noted in its policy statement last week after its FOMC meeting that economic activity and employment have continued to recover but remain well below their levels at the beginning of the year. That capped an obvious statement courtesy of the Fed. And Pantheon Macroeconomics chief economist Ian Shepherdson added that payroll growth is nothing like strong enough to recover the lost ground, despite the October numbers beating expectations. Now, the omens for November are certainly much more grim, as resurging infections have scared more people into staying home. Shepherdson notes the chance of a lame duck stimulus bill is rising, but it won't be big enough. More will be needed early next year. I don't know if I believe that anything is coming in this lame duck session. Just having heard the majority and minority leaders of the Senate, if this is any hint of the post-election unity that many of us hoped for, we still have some work to do, Melody.
Yeah, ain't gonna happen. Not going to happen. I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to be at least, you know, it's just not going to happen, you know. But they are going to do the stimulus. There's no doubt about it. It's just, you know, it's such a tit-for-tat type of a DC anymore. It's just, you know, but that's all part of, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the corruption there is, and, you know, the, you know, that there's so many of them that need to leave those positions that have been there for a long time. They really do need to go. I mean, it's like, man, anyway, that's another topic. But anyway, the markets, Wall Street, they don't care who was elected. They really don't, because they know the stimulus is coming. It's coming from the banks. It's coming from the central banks. It's going to come from government. until the event, the black swan event, whatever that might be, happens. And so, again, you have the central banks already have started priming their money printers. And in the coming months, they're going to be cranking them up, buying more bonds, delivering more liquidity to markets. The recent rally in equities now has been backing, has more backing from central banks. And that could be especially beneficial in the U.S., where companies have thrived on low rates and easy money while trimming their bottom lines through layoffs. I mean, this isn't new stuff. It happens. It's going to continue to happen. And while the possibility of maybe another lockdown before this vaccine can get into measures returning could, again, what's it going to do to the local economies here and around the globe? And the bad thing is now you have these hospital beds filling up. That's not good either. So you guys got a break today in the gold and silver pricing. Take advantage of it. Again, gold didn't go down. Silver didn't go down. They gave you a discount. So take advantage of it. Last Thursday, you had the Bank of England said it would buy an additional $197 billion of UK government debt following the Reserve Bank of Australia's announcement that it would use QE for the first time, buying $73 billion in government bonds. That sounds like a big V-shaped recovery around the world. European Central Bank pledged to double down on its monetary easing programs in December. That ain't going to happen. Likely meaning more QE and further negative rates. Back home, Powell, the Fed chair, Jerome, he made clear at November's FOMC press conference just last week that the Fed is, they're prepared to join the party. The Fed is strongly committed to using these powerful tools that we have to support the economy during these difficult times for as long as needed. And no one should have any doubt about that. And that, again, was coming from our Fed chair, Jerome Powell. Dave.
Well, I'm hoping that the next Treasury Secretary's first name is going to be Tom. Because if it is, I think I'm going to start calling Powell Jerry instead of his current nickname, Jay. So then we'll have a Tom and Jerry to bring some comic relief to just
the Tom and Jerry show.
Yes, total zaniness. That,
we're heading into the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Take advantage of the drop today in gold and silver. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for a weekly newsletter that'll be going out. Well, we're heading, giving our things over to the editor of the newsletter here right after the program. So, you know, heading into the break day, we were talking about all the, all the Fed money going into it, and, you know, it just goes on. You have the the Cleveland Fed president calls for more financial inclusion. Loretta Mester headlined this week's virtual VinTech conference at the Philadelphia Fed. She spent most of her career at the Philly Fed, spoke about the implications of digitalization for financial inclusion and steps that need to be taken to ensure that digitalization fosters inclusion rather than exclusion. You know, I don't know if this is just talk, or I don't think governments are close by any means to going digital in their currency, going cryptocurrencies. They might for global, and this might be the reference for global trade. Is that what she was talking about, Dave?
I would think so. I agree. It would be, just looking a little bit at the speech itself, I don't believe this was about digital coinage. I think it's more in the context of how you just mentioned.
But I think they've already been doing this, so I'm not quite sure.
They've been trying to. I think her point is expand the inclusion so that it's not mainly a benefit for the wealthy and for men. I think those are some of the statistics she talked about. Poor lagging behind the wealthy, women lagging behind men, developing countries lagging behind developed countries, and so forth.
Okay, so we'll move on from there.
There you have it.
Yes, you do. Well, we kind of already talked about how economic forecasts could be upgraded with the vaccine news. Is that what you're writing about today, Dave, in the newsletter?
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. We already know that certain hints of an economic rebound are showing more and more signs of losing steam. That's as the winter approaches and as infections start to pick up again here and in Europe particularly. Some indicators like retail sales continue to advance, but others are falling, particularly, you know, those with some of the greatest exposure to fluctuations in the virus. This morning, as Melody mentioned, the longer-term outlook got at least a temporary boost as preliminary results from the vaccine being developed by Pfizer and BioNTech sent stocks soaring, at least initially, to all-time highs. Even so, production and widespread distribution of a vaccine, as we mentioned, will likely take at least several months. And that means the pandemic's going to continue to dictate our economy's direction for some time, and that's regardless of who's in the White House or leading Congress. Some state and local officials are already suggesting they could reimpose some restrictions before the next president takes his oath of office on January 20th.
Well, you know, there's an economist out of Bloomberg, Eliza Winger. She said that the pandemic will dominate near-term economic trends boosted by more uncertainty on the presidential, although not congressional, fiscal aid front.
Yeah, I think she said boosted by more certainty. Data from Open Table show that restaurant bookings have fallen. Weekly reservations are now down about, over 50% from a year ago, after being just 41% lower a week before. Restaurants and bars shed more than 6 million jobs. Well, they did in March and April amid the widespread lockdowns across the nation. And since then, about two-thirds of those jobs have been recovered. Thanks to a solid increase in October, but workforce reductions in those industries could return, and quickly, if Americans are discouraged or, in fact, barred from dining or drinking out again. Now, we know that better-than-expected October jobs report last week did highlight a labor market that continues to steadily but slowly recover. Department of Labor said, as Melody mentioned, that payrolls increased 638,000 jobs, and the government's headline employment rate dropped a full percentage point to 6.9%, as bogus, not dubious, bogus, as that is, I suggest. Shadowstats.com says the actual unemployment rate is closer to 26%.
Even other employment data is less upbeat. The number of long-term unemployed surged by 1.2 million in October and now make up about a third of the total unemployed. So, meantime, you have applications for state unemployment insurance. That was little changed in the latest week, and but it still remains extremely high. And, of course, that's underscoring churn in a labor market that's recovering only gradually.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, it's going to take a lot of time and a vaccine for the jobs market to return to its pre-pandemic strength, much less grow beyond that level. Still, other parts of the economy do continue to advance. As I mentioned, retail sales have accelerated, exceeding year-ago levels for a seventh straight week. That suggests that consumer spending may be more durable than originally expected in the wake of declining government support. The weekly Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index has also improved slightly, and the housing market remains strong. Several housing indicators are above February levels as, you know, these record low mortgage rates continue to support demand. But after today, I don't know, global economic outlook could materially change, and a lot of it better. I'm talking about the outlook now, not the actual performance, but sentiment and economic forecasts could be updated to reflect these promising results for the vaccine. We'll call it the Pfizer vaccine.
Well, they're always going to grasp any news to make it look more positive. Whether
Absolutely.
It's real or not remains to be seen. But,
well,
you know, they'll
the
just take
to...
the headline, run with it, make it happy news. And I like happy news. I hope for happy news, too. But if we just look at headlines and we don't look at anything deeper, we'll never know what's going on.
Well, you know, and that's important. It's so important, especially in this day of social media and 24-hour cable news, where we as consumers of this information tend to be more passive than we were decades ago. that, you know, there's so much of the information coming at us, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, or whatever, that we just tend to accept it. And I call it information fatigue. But it's so, so important that we try and take an opportunity every day to sort of get away from it, you know, sit back and think, really think about it, what and what it means. I mean, because there is so much of it that yeah. is sort of far out on the surface, and we accept far too much of it as reality.
But there's so much repetition.
Yeah.
And you're right. If you listen to 5 hours of repeating conversations, but with different faces, you're yeah. right about one thing. You don't think. It eliminates
the same information.
You don't think. Just take that as gospel.
That's part of particularly the political commentary these days. That the strategy of these networks is the more you repeat it, the more you repeat the same thing, particularly opinions.
And it's all of them.
People tend to believe them.
It's all of them. They're all doing
it. Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
From station to station. At the top of the hour. It's like, oh, man, I just heard that. Let me switch to the station.
It's like their script doesn't even change. Their script
doesn't
change.
Well, you know what that is, Melody? It's probably a sign that, you know, hey, we've gotten our news dose for the day. Let's go find something else to do.
Yeah, that's what we should be doing, because it truly is. And, you know, that's one thing that we lack in this country is really, and you know, and it's not either side. It's both sides. It's all people. Whether you have a side or not, it's all. I mean, we're all human, and that's how it's triggered to really control and to, you know, they're thinking for you. They're doing your win, and all they're giving is their opinions. You know, there's so much news out there, but all you hear is the opinions, and that's what they're doing. They're thinking for you, and it shouldn't be that way. But,
well, today's another example of that. And just keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, while of course we're all hopeful, whether or not, you know, you're going to you know, trust the first rounds of vaccine, or if you eventually do or never do, we all hope this virus is going to be controlled. And but in the meantime, you know, any side of good news, as Melody suggested, there's going to be, particularly in these corporate dominated media outlets, are going to be you know, repeated and repeated and repeated, and attempt again to do thinking for you. But look, let's not forget, we're still 10 million jobs behind where we were when this drastic pandemic began. We have a lot of catching up to do, and the hole that we're in is still pretty gosh darn deep. Even with today's vaccine news, there's still a long road to haul. It's just perhaps a shorter road. Although the big thing to remember, someone better be prepared for a lot of potholes along the way. And that's,
you know,
all
I
have
think,
to say about that, Melody.
And I think, too, I mean, I heard it from my high school friend in Pennsylvania. She said she couldn't sleep at nights because the markets were correcting, and she says, that's what we live off of. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if it does that to you, why wouldn't you buy the insurance keep you, to allow you to sleep? Wall Street, what happens to the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P shouldn't keep you awake.
Yep.
It has that much control over you, for those that does affect that way? I mean, come on. Don't become attached. And if you do have your investments in paper, insure it. There's no safer way to insure your paper investment is but by gold. Is there a 100% guarantee? No. But you give me one item that's 100% guarantee. There isn't anything. Even your treasuries are not guaranteed by the government. People think they are. They're presented like they are, but they're not. They'll default on them just as easy as they're going to default. And here we're seeing the 10-year rise again. You know, wait till that gets back up and they can't service the debt any longer. And, you know, again, Dave, there's no, I mean, these are the things that are so much behind everything. Everything else changes. But yet, the important things are not being addressed. They're not going to fix them. They can't fix them. So they just keep it going for as long as they can. Less than a month ago, the IMF downgraded its forecast for world growth in 2021, saying that the recovery would be long, uneven, and uncertain, Dave. Are you there?
I am there. Did we lose?
I thought maybe we lost you.
No.
So, no. I mean, that's part of your article that you were talking about, that... So I don't know if you're finished. Are you finished with that?
Yeah, I think I'm finished. I mean, you know, it's just... I'm finished. I mean, I think I made the point that, you know, with the possibility of a successful vaccine now, you know, being, you know, near manufacturing and, of course, distribution, you know, that could and will result in big changes to these growth projections as soon as the first quarter of next year. And it is a game changer, as some economists are now seeing. But again, the caveats that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I think, is the major story here. As much as we want to hear good news in terms of its impact on the economy and our pocketbooks, be cautious.
I hear the music. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about gold earlier, and, you know, of course, you know, everybody, I mean, we just went over how all the central banks and governments are going to continue to pretty much spend to keep these economies going. The big question is, will the governments begin to lock the economies down again? I hope they don't. I can't imagine that they should or could or would, but I don't think it's right. But I'm not the one in charge, so I don't think it's likely, but one answer is that governments are simply broke and they have no funds to further support the economics during the next lockdown. So how can they shut anything down? Thus far, the U.S. has supported individuals and businesses to the tune of around, hey, only $6 trillion that we know about, that they tell us. How much more public debt would it take to prop up the economy and households during another lockdown? Well, $1 trillion more? Two? We heard they wanted three. Democrats wanted three. They got it to 2.5, and it, well, wasn't it 2.5 they got it to, and it didn't get through? Well, maybe they need 4 or 5. Yeah. Is there any cost too great to support the economies of the world? Well, after all, when you stop the economy, then the economy is well stopped. And without a functioning economy, the social fabric gets destroyed. And after some time, guess what? Collapses. You know, Dave, I mean, it's just civilization collapses. I mean, these are the problems that we've had, the violence that we've seen, the social, you can tag it on to everything, but what on my book is, it was just something that that just struck the match. I mean, it's been, I mean, the lack of quality jobs and the lack of wages, higher wages, and the inability to better yourselves in this country anymore. You know, to where companies provide for your health care, and I mean, it's just, but prices become, because of inflation and your dollar buying less, it's not going to happen. So, Dave?
Well, you know, Melody, you asked that question, how much more public debt would it take to prop up the economy and households during another lockdown? And I know it was meant to be mainly rhetorical, but in many ways it's the crux of what we're facing, I think, or at least a good part of it. I mean, we often talk about on this program reinforcing that the stock market economy is not the real economy, that the economy that affects households, moms and dads and grandpa and grandma and kids and grandkids from day to day, is really what we're all about, and that's where I think the answer lies. How much more would our elected representatives be willing to prop up the stock market or businesses versus how much would they be willing to do for individuals? I'm afraid that, you know, the answer we already know. I mean, if we look back, particularly to the Great Recession, we know they'd go to almost any lengths, and this includes the Fed now, our unelected representatives, that whether it's $700 or $800 billion, which is over $1 trillion in today's money, big business versus small business, we see that the Fed programs has benefited largely big businesses, publicly traded companies, at the expense of small businesses. And, you know, it's frustrating to me as, you know, we talk about, you know, over 10 million people, and the number's actually a lot larger than that if we include the discouraged and disaffected, those who've stopped looking for jobs. You almost begin to wonder if we're going to have this society of wandering individuals. You know, we have 500,000 homeless people in this country. How much longer will it take for that to rise to, say, 1 million? Well, this is the kind of economy where that could happen. And I don't profess to know the answers. I know that and I'm even someone who's concerned about the national debt, also acknowledging the fact that, you know, it'll never be paid down, much less paid off, and that at some point in time there's bound to be a reckoning. But how in God's name we can not be doing everything possible to get 10 million people back to work is beyond me, Melody.
Well, you know, part of the problem, yes, we shut down the economies, shut down our economy in the beginning of the year in March. But, I mean, you said something back in the Great Recession of 2008, it was $800 billion. Today we're $6 trillion. Okay. I mean, and a lot of the problems that we face because of the shutdown, I think, was due still to not bringing us out of that recession properly. By throwing billions of dollars at the problem, by not having real failures. And nobody likes to see anybody fail, but we live in a world where things fail, you know? But that is part of the problem. So how do you spend $800 billion then and $6 trillion now and don't think that we have an ongoing problem?
And what have we fixed of the systemic problems? I still look at the too big to fail banks. What has changed? Sure, there's Dodd-Frank, there's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, but in reality, and sure, there are improved capitalization requirements.
Ooh, but they didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, mm-hmm. What have they done? Why haven't these big banks been broken up? There's no reason. I mean, you look at a bank like Deutsche Bank and all the other the biggest of the U.S. and global banks, and why one division doesn't know what the other division is doing. So in many cases, they're compounding that, you know, a big bank like Deutsche has like 10 different major computer systems, and none of the computers talk to one another. And then they wonder why one division compounds the problems that are occurring in another division. And the problems equate to, you know, massive corruption in many cases. And so I think so much of this is going to come down to a reckoning of our antitrust laws and how we view what makes a competitive America, what makes a competitive company.
Free markets should determine that. But they don't allow us to have a free market. And, you know, when you talk about the banks, you know, there's a reason they're tagged too big to fail. You know, because if they fail, it takes every... So as long as they can continue them, they're not going to break them up. They're not going to break anything up. It's going to be status quo. They're going to continue things just whatever they do to keep it going, because when it's lost, when they do default on the debt, I don't know which is going to come first or what's going to come first to get us to that point. We can't be that far off, because when you have the millions of people that aren't working, I mean, and you have these, I mean, it's such a huge wheel that once that's one or two of those spokes are broken, it's not going to turn properly. And we've had more than just a couple of those spokes broken. You know, you have the wheel wobbling and it's ready to, you know, fall over and do whatever it does. But you're going to steer as long as you can to keep it on the road. And that's exactly what they're doing. I like that analogy, Dave. They're going to keep it on the road for as long as they can. And the longer they keep it on, we all know the worse it is when it falls.
Yeah.
We should have taken the hits back in 87.
Yeah.
But what got us out, and even before then, but what got us out of 87? Yeah, they closed the gold window. So what could they do? You know, they brought us out of that recession by more innovative investment programs, more debt. And in the mid-90s, the same thing. The 2000, the same thing. And then that debt bubble just gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. We never came out of any of those recessions.
Melody, greed must be good, because that's all our policies have reaped.
Yes.
And, you know, even if a new wave of infections in the U.S. doesn't bring similar economic effects as it did earlier in the year, look, the virus is no longer a new and unknown threat. If nothing else, it's become a familiar danger.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And
what does all of this imply for gold? Well, we know that even with today's major correction, gold's still up over 28% this year. Silver's up almost 44%. In the pandemic era, this year, since its end-of-the-day low of 1477 on March 18th, gold soared almost $600, or 40%, to its all-time high of 2070 on August 6th. And today, we saw a giant sell-off of gold and silver after, you know, the announcement of Pfizer's successful vaccine trial, and there may be more gyrations to come in the coming weeks, especially in the manipulation-sensitive gold ETFs. But once the precious metals market adjusts to a new equilibrium, and this will be short-term, even if that level is below 1900 as it is today, other fundamentals in the economy are going to be a good excuse for the Fed and Treasury to keep their accommodative positions. And that kind of environment, ladies and gentlemen, especially, and here's the point, especially with a falling U.S. dollar, is going to be bullish for gold and silver for some time to come. We talked about 2,000 an ounce. We talked about 3,000 an ounce. We've talked about 5,000 an ounce and more. That's still on the horizon. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. Call us at 1-800-375-4188.
And, you know, my message has been the same, and the message for gold is the same since they took us off the gold standard and they closed the gold window and took silver out of our currency. It's a fiat currency. Here we are today because of that. And where we're going tomorrow is because of that. And the defaulting on the debt, everything that happens is all because of that fiat dollar. It allowed things to grow beyond anyone's imagination. So, yeah, gold and silver is the only place to be. Buy it and get a good night's sleep. You don't have to worry about your retirement accounts. Insure it. Doesn't mean you have to get rid of it 100%, but insure it and sleep at night and not worry. How can you enjoy life if you're worrying about those dollars? So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Davis Market's going to trade on Wednesday.
Veterans Day. I believe so. I
know banks are closed.
What's that?
I know banks are closed.
The markets are open, but let me double chuck in that for you so you can announce it tomorrow.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow, so I just want you to be safe until then, and good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Penny left for me. That's too bad.